So please welcome Cathy Grant.
Good morning, Unity family.
Good morning.
Yes. So anyway, first things first. Yeah. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers-to-be, our father figures, mentors. We got moms doing double duty. Yes. A few fun facts about Father's Day. First time Father's Day was celebrated was June 19, 1910, in the state of Washington. However, it wasn't until 58 years later that it was declared a holiday. And that proclamation was signed by President Richard Nixon. Go figure. Yeah. And so the estimate, according to one account, is that there are about 70 million fathers in the country. That's a big number, yes? Did you know that there was a time when there was a group of people who decided, forget this Father's Day, Mother's Day business. We need to have Parents' Day. And every Mother's Day, of course it was New York, so they were hanging out in Central Park, reminding people that it is Parents' Day. Let us have Parents' Day. But that didn't last. And thus we have Mother's Day and Father's Day. I read one account where it said, that merchants had the thought that Father's Day was sort of like a second Christmas for fathers, thus the commercialization. And we still have those who say, I'm not going to do all of that. And then we have the fathers that say, you know what, I'm actually supplying the funds that is buying me the Father's Day gifts that my family's giving me. But you know what? It's all good. It is, just as John read this morning, today's affirmation, that we honor and bless all fathers and father figures and hold that vision. What a vision to actually hold. This month is also the month of imagination, according to our 12 powers. And so this year at Unity of New York, we are in this month, this year of abundance. We are celebrating abundance, and we are continuing to acknowledge each power of the month as a carryover from last year. So it is the year of abundant imagination. This month, imagination is the power, and we say it is abundant. And what is imagination all about? So according to Charles Fillmore, co-founder of this Unity movement, it is the ability to image, to picture, to conceptualize, to dream. It's represented by the disciple Bartholomew. He represents positive thoughts held in mind. And there's a color, and that color is light blue. And it's located right here. That area between your left and right eye is called the third eye by many of us. Scientifically, it's the glabella right there. Power of imagination. So we often hear people say, oh, I can see that with my third eye, that intuitive eye that looks beyond what's actually physically in front of us. That is a magnificent power, because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. As we were reading the affirmation this morning, the idea of envisioning all fathers and father figures and mentors, envisioning them as a divine love reflected in all they think, say, and do. And because I was peeking, some of y'all were like, I'm just saying. I, for one, know it hasn't always been an easy thing to imagine. Do I have any company? There are a few brave people. Others are just sitting on their hands, and that's okay. We're going to talk about that a little bit. When we talk about our 12 powers, we are talking about these faculties or abilities that allow us, when used from spirit, when used from our hearts, that allow us to operate grander than perhaps we would operate from our intellect. We call upon our powers to help us in our spiritual development. That's what we do here at Unity. That's what our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, talked about, that we can do more over and above and beyond when we are operating from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. The master teacher and rabbi taught us that the kingdom, and I love the way Carlos says the queendom and the alldom of heaven isn't out there. God isn't out there. That power and presence is one expressing in and through and as each of us individualized. Each of us is an integral part of the God puzzle, and we're all required, we're all needed to complete the mosaic of beauty that this universe is. Each of us cooperating and doing our part. I love looking at scripture when I'm speaking about a topic. So on this Father's Day, I want you all to take a little trip with me, briefly, and look at some fathers through the Hebrew scriptures. So we have a father, Abraham. He was told he would be the father of many nations. Yet he and his wife Sarah were, I would say, a bit up in age when this began to unfold. And the first time Abraham became a father, it wasn't with Sarah. So what had happened was, since she was not conceiving, she said, take my handmaiden, my servant, and have a child with her. And he did, and Ishmael was born. But that wasn't the beginning of what Spirit told Abraham was going to be that fathering of many nations. And later on, Sarah did conceive at the very young age, somewhere around the 80s, 90s. Imagine that. And who comes out? Isaac. Can you imagine Abraham patiently waiting for his wife to conceive, for him to begin this amazing journey as the father of many nations? Can you imagine the faith that he had to have to keep walking that walk? And he would stumble along the way. He told some serious stories to different kings about the relationship he had with his wife. Sometimes he would say, she wasn't his wife, but it was my sister. It was my sister, because he needed to get what he thought he needed. And I'm saying this to let us know that Abraham was not perfect in the sense of doing everything right all the time. Yet, over time, Spirit used him. And out of him came the tribes. He was the father of many nations. Yes. And he showed a ridiculous amount of faith. And I say ridiculous because I know I couldn't do it. When he was commanded to sacrifice his son Isaac, the joy of his life, metaphysically speaking, Isaac means joy, to sacrifice him. And he got all the way up to that last moment when the just in the nick of time Spirit stepped in and provided a substitute for the sacrifice. To me, Abraham represents faith and patience and the benefits of following Spirit. Let's move on to Noah. Noah was the last righteous man standing. Can you imagine being Noah, being told there is no one else faithful? No one else righteous but you right here and right now. And can you imagine being the woman that's hooked up to Noah who gets this message? Your husband is the last man standing, and he has to do this monumental task in the midst of ridicule. Can you imagine? Humiliation. He's out there building this giant boat, and there's a drought. No one has seen rain, and he's trying to follow these specifications that don't even make sense. And then he has to bring animals in there and all kinds of, well, animals, insects, birds, you name it. He brought it in. And Noah wasn't perfect either. He did the best he could. In fact, after he got that monstrous job accomplished and hit dry land, we find out that Noah really liked his wine. And he liked it so much that he got drunk, woke up with not a stitch on, and embarrassed his sons. Yet Noah, some consider the second father of many, because everybody was wiped out. He represented that perseverance, that faith, that conviction to follow the inner workings of spirit in the face of all odds. We have Moses. He had some sons, but he's also a father figure who guided a whole people out of captivity. Moses received the Ten Commandments, and he had to get them not once, but twice. And he wasn't perfect either. He committed some serious crimes. Anybody know about those crimes? One in particular. He took the life of another human being. He was not perfect. In fact, towards the end of the journey, of the 40-year journey, he disobeyed spirit and was told, and you're not going into the promised land. Joshua has to do that. Moses had his issues. He had his flaws. Yet God used him, his faith and his strength and his spirit. Through that, miracles were worked through Moses. And then my favorite, who I consider one of the most underrated fathers, is in the Christian scriptures. And this is Joseph. What a responsibility he had to follow through and marry a young lady who was already with child, and it wasn't him. Imagine the ridicule. Imagine the finger wagging. Imagine the whispering behind his back. Look at him. He was a lot older than her. And what did you say happened? Yet, the thought of not going through, we're told, crosses his mind. But he goes through with the plan. He protected Mary. He cared for her. And raised his son. He's an example of a foster parent, an adopted parent. Jesus wasn't his via DNA. He gives that example. We don't hear much about Joseph. In fact, we don't hear anything about him after Jesus is 12 years old. But what we do read about Joseph is that he is described as a righteous man. We also know that Joseph passed on his trade to Jesus. He was a carpenter, and so was his son. He did his father duties. All of these fathers I touched on have a lot in common. Their faith beyond the appearances in their lives, the faith in the midst of tremendous obstacles. I would say they invoked, even though maybe these words weren't going to be used, but I see them invoking their power of imagination. And I invite you to think about the men who have crossed your path, fathers, grandfathers, uncles, siblings, cousins, good friends, mentors. I went right into my own family to find examples of fathers. I have three brothers, and I asked them about fatherhood. Some of their responses were, always challenging, always worrying about how to set the right example and not screwing up and providing the best way you can. One said, it's so difficult when you're responsible for someone who has all the questions and you're trying to figure out, how in the world do I help this soul, this black boy, navigate through life here in these United States? He said, it is our duty to impart a course of success to the best of our ability. One said, I had to discern all the time the right way to raise them. But then they shared with me their joys. One said, it's the most wonderful experience of my life. I wouldn't change a thing. I got 4 daughters, 4 granddaughters. He's the one who's surrounded by women, not another male in that company. Then I have the polar opposite, the brother who has all the boys, and the only female in that group is his wife. They talked about how it can be done by being invested in someone's growth. And they said anyone can do it. There are so many that need someone to invest in their growth. And they all talked about being able to rest and stand on the shoulders of the elders that came before them. Someone led by example. One said, I had strong shoulders to stand on, and that it is a blessing to see your kids doing the right thing. It makes you feel like you did something right. And when I congratulated him, he said, don't look at me. He said, it was by the grace of God and a praying family that helped me through. All right, brothers aren't what you would call church dudes. They're not. Oftentimes, I wonder why I'm standing here. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But point being, they knew that there was something greater that lived within them. Someone was an example for them. Someone showed them how to pray. Someone told them it's going to be all right. Someone said, hey, I didn't know how to do this before I had my children, but I did it. And one of those someones was our father, our birth father. My brothers are examples of men who have blended families, of one who took on single fatherhood when the woman who was with him to raise his children died. And next month, he will become an empty nester when his third child heads off to college. He said it was his praying family and his friends, his extended community, the village that helped him raise his family. Fathers, father figures, mentors teach by the way they live. You might be sitting here thinking, that's all well and good, but I didn't have that in my life. I didn't have that experience. I didn't have the gift of having that male figure. And I would say many of us did not at some point in time. That feeling of, if I had known, perhaps I would have. Or that feeling of missing a father or parent or father figure or mentor who is no longer physically on this plane. What do we do with that? Or having a father who looked anything but like what we've affirmed, anything other than the picture of love, the picture of steadfastness, the picture of gentle loving kindness, the picture of strength, the picture of wisdom, the father that Leo sang about, who said, I'll always be there. What if that is not the story? What if that is not your history? Where do you go with that? How do you move with that? We come together here at Unity of New York to guide each other on that spiritual path, and that includes the path of healing and wholeness. I ask you to think, perhaps the fathers who weren't there, couldn't be there, who were physically there but not emotionally available, who were not loving and kind, but who were abusive verbally, physically, sexually, whatever Lee you want to put on there. That whatever the journey, whatever their history, that in a given moment, they were doing the best they could at a given time. And as we sit here as adults who have made it, who are still standing, and not just standing, but thriving. Because if you're sitting in these seats, you're thriving. Because you had a way to get here. All of you are dressed and you look good. There is something that lives and breathes you that guided you to this point. The power and presence that created each of us in its likeness and in its image has given us gifts. This gift of imagination we can invoke in those times of hurt, in those times of trauma, in those times of difficulty, in the times of challenge, and harness the power that has been in us since the beginning of the beginning. And part of that process is knowing that there is that which is in you that is greater than any experience that you have had and will have. The events happen. Issues happen. Fallout happens. Hurt happens. And we can walk through whatever valley of shadow is placed before us by going within, by choosing. How many of us have chosen a new family? Yes, this is a family. I say good morning, happy Sunday, Unity family, for a reason. I'm blessed to have chosen you as my family. And so through that power of imagination, we can certainly not change the past, but we can look at it differently. We can see it with the third eye, and we can place it in a perspective that allows us to live our lives fully, more abundantly, to allow us to release the burden of the rock of the disappointment, of the despair, of the anger that we have experienced in our lives, and call on that power of imagination and say, wow, what would it be like if I could release that and experience my life without that burden? I encourage you to take it into prayer, to take it into meditation. Each of you already has every attribute, every power, every faculty, every ability I am speaking about. It's already in there. How do I know that? Because I've discovered and continue to discover it in myself. And the power and presence that imagined us into being is not a respecter of persons. In other words, he didn't give me something, she didn't give me something, it didn't give me something, it didn't give you. It might be latent. It might be hanging out in the shadows, but it's there. It is for us to work that, and we come together in community to do this. On the front of your bulletin, the verse there comes from Ephesians, the third chapter in the 20th verse. And that chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is really saying a prayer to the church, and he's talking to them about how they can build unity. And it says, with God's power working in us, God can do much more than anything we can ask or imagine. In this prayer, He is affirming that divine love that lives in us. He's telling us that we can access the power and presence of Spirit in our lives. It lives within us. And in so doing, we can realize the full creative presence of God that dwells in our hearts and expresses through us. This power at work within us can accomplish through us more than we could ever imagine. So as we invoke that faculty of imagination, whatever it is you would like to see in your life, from this moment on, call on that power. Wake it up. Shake it up. Stir the pot. It is there for the using. I call this having an inner body experience. We talk about outer body experiences. This is an inner body experience because we live from the inside out. It's a transformation. We can do it. You can do it. I can do it. Unity Minister Charles Ross asked the question, how are you using your imagination? And he called it the scissors of the mind. Because just as you use a pair of scissors on a bolt of material, and that material becomes the form that your scissors cut it into, so does your imagination work on the unspecialized substance of God all around you, and that substance becomes to you just the form that your imagination gives it. Is that cool or what? It's a lot of words, but what he's really saying is, listen, you have the power of imagination within you. Go within, exercise it, use it, and create from the divine unlimited substance that's available what you want for your life. We can do that. Eric Butterworth talks about right judgment, seeing from within. And I love when he says, it's not about setting something right. In other words, it's not about changing the path, but it's about seeing it right. Remember that each of us is created perfectly. We are created perfect for the mission that is ours to accomplish in this incarnation. We have everything required to give us access. If it's not already in there, we have access to it. Because we didn't come here with anything missing. Doesn't matter what we look like, what we sound like, where we're from, who our folks were or weren't. It doesn't matter. It's in you. That inner transformation is waiting to happen. Butterworth talks about it's not setting things as just the way they are. It's not settling on things as, quote, just the way they are, but visualizing them as they can be. Are you willing to take the inner journey of transformation to create your best life, to express all that you have been created to express? Are you willing to take that trip and gift the world with your whole self? Because the whole Spirit of God lives in you. The Holy Spirit is the whole Spirit of God, and it lives in you and can only be seen through you as expression. I know I touched something because it's quiet. It is quiet. It is quiet. Know with me, personalize the affirmation. I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. Can you know that with me? I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. Again, I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. The power of three. Again, I envision good unfolding in every area of my life. Breathe. Exhale. Now say it again to yourself, quietly. And take a breath. And remember that you're already created in the image, likeness of God. Your true image is not something to get. It is a reality to uncover because it's already there. All the attributes required are already in you. Ask, and it will be given. Ask. Ask. Give thanks in advance for it already unfolding. Give thanks in advance for the new ending to the story of your life. Fathers, father figures, mentors, if you feel you're in a thankless job and there's no one patting you on your back saying, oh, honey, what a wonderful person you are, what a wonderful man you are, what a mother, father, grandfather, uncle, brother, cousin, whatever it is, and you feel like you're not getting it, this is why I stress the importance of the inside job, because sometimes we just have to do it for ourselves. Sometimes we have to pat our own selves on the back. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, I can do it. Sometimes I have to tell myself, yes, I can do all things through the power and presence that Christ love that's in me. Why? Because we're never alone. That power and presence is alive and well. That light that you are is alive and well. Don't hide it. Share it. Express it. Those attributes, the strength, the wisdom, the faith that I talked about with the fathers, it's in every single one of us. It doesn't matter about gender. It's in every single one of us. Today is, you know, we talked about pride. Yes, be proud of who and what and whose you are. Be proud of where you've come from because you're still here. Be proud and be excited about being able to invoke that power of imagination and go on out there and imagine your life bigger, grander, huger, more exciting than you ever, ever imagined. Because you can do that. And I want you to imagine that for your life. Imagine that for your life. And know, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where, you got a family of people up in here who are praying with you, who are knowing the truth with you. We got choir members, we got chaplains, we got board members, we have volunteers, we have the youth program, folks working in there, and every single one of you because you show up. You show up. You have a family. This is the family to get with. Britt already told you, we're known. Know that for true. And give thanks for your power of imagination, and so it is.
Kathy Grant, we thank you. We thank you with infinite thanks.
And as we take this moment and recognize the tremendous blessing of being here right now. We take a breath and breathe in and through any area that feels tense. Allow your chair to support you, eyes open or closed. Memories and feelings come to mind when we think of Father. Some of us will honor our fathers in person. Others will remember beloved fathers who have passed on. For others, memories may come up that do not feel pleasant, that are reminders of challenges and difficulties. Our relationships with our fathers and father figures may be strong and loving, or it may have its ups and downs. However, through the blessing of free choice, we can choose to have our past have a different meaning for us. We have the ability to make peace, each in our own individualized way. We can bless in person, we can bless in thought, we can bless in spirit. The power of forgiveness lies in us. You can call on that power and know that we can be willing to be willing to ease and release any resentments, upsets, disappointments, confusion, hurts. Because these states keep us from being all that we can be. When we remember that forgiveness is about freedom, about freeing ourselves, releasing the bonds that weigh us down, and know that we can choose to see each and every situation rightly, that we can call on the wisdom and power of spirit to guide us in wise decision making about whatever the situation or circumstance may be. Healing is always possible. Time frames may be different. Some healing may be easier than others. But we know healing is always possible. We have it in us through prayer, through meditation. We can lighten the burden. As you take a breath and go into a silence, we bring our affirmation and envision good unfolding in every area of your life. Take a breath. And take another cleansing breath. And give thanks for the ability, the power, and the presence of mind to be willing to embark upon that inner journey of transformation, that inner journey to recalling and renewal, revitalization, that inner journey to wholeness, being demonstrated in the outer, because we are already whole. Let us journey to bringing our awareness to that truth, that we are already whole. No matter who didn't do what, we are already whole. No matter what you don't have, you are already whole. No matter what's happening in any area of your life, you are already whole. And we are so grateful for the truth. We say, thank you, sweet spirit, from the indwelling power and presence that is and expresses through and as each one of us. We say, thank you, and so it is.